This conference will now be recorded.
So this is the first of hopefully several virtual town meetings. This was our first BYOB. I have my black cherry sparkling ice. I hope you each have your own favorite beverage.
Water.
There is no particular agenda for tonight. We're just trying to start a forum to open up to hear questions, comments, concerns people have of what's going on. So the floor is open and yours to fire away.
I had one question regarding the purchase of the church property.
Yeah.
How much REIT money did we use and how much general fund money did we use? You remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head because the issue is ultimately it's going to come down to what we decide to do with the property and whether or not some of the school mitigation fees that we have can be used to apply to that. So where exactly the money is going to finally come from, I don't think is going to be determined for a little bit.
What kind of fees did you say?
Mitigation, school mitigation fees, or I'm sorry, park mitigation fees. The park mitigation fees they have some restrictions on what type of parks they can be used for and what types of uses they have. So we've got to, until we know what we're going to do with the property, we don't necessarily know where all the funds are going to come from. It could come from the park fees. It could come out of REIT. We're just not sure yet.
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it keeps it, we don't end up with apartments on it. That's a good thing, but you may disagree, but.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, that's the highest and best use. If we wanted to make a crap load of money, we could sell it and develop a bunch more apartments. But the whole intent with that property when the council bought it 14 years ago was to do something with it to spur economic development. So, you know, that's what I think. Hopefully we'll get to that finally next year to sit down and start having a dialogue with the community about what to do out there. We had some interesting options that have been put on the table that, you know, the Boys and Girls Club is the one that intrigues me.
Me too.
Which one did you say interested you?
The Boys and Girls Club. They had in the past expressed interest of wanting to develop a club. And in conjunction with that, may be able to do a field. And they're open to doing a bigger building than what their needs are. Their needs are for about 17,000 square feet for their typical facility and a gymnasium.
And, really?
And the concept could be a bigger building that would be more of a community facility that includes a Boys and Girls Club. I'd like to, if we look at that option, I'd like to look at incorporating a small, not a standalone performing arts centers like at least one of our colleagues would advocate for. But I don't know if you've been to Linwood High School. When they built that high school 4 or 5 years ago, they have about a 400 seat auditorium that is just wonderful.
No, I've been over there for soccer games, but I've never been in the building.
Yeah, they have a beautiful, I've only been walked in to go to the theater, the auditorium, whatever they call it. It's a nice facility. So that's the discussion we need to engage in, hopefully next year as a council and with the community to talk about what uses. We have all sorts of needs. We have community center needs. We could possibly think about a permanent location for the senior center closer to the core of the city rather than out in the East Gateway. There's a lot of different options.
Oh, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Melissa. And someone else too.
Coming on.
Yes, we've got a couple people joining us. So, for those of you joining us, we are just kind of having an open forum right now. So if you can turn on your video, it'd be easier for me to see if you want to raise your hand and ask a question. Now I see Melissa. Hey there.
Are you done, Will?
No, last comment I have is I remember those meetings, council meetings, where those representatives from the Boys and Girl Club were talking about their ideas, and it sounded like a pretty good deal for the city. I think they mentioned that once they get in, they would build the facility, but I don't remember much beyond that.
We had a really vague concept with them. And so remember that at the time, this would have been in 2014, when Ken was still the city manager, he and I'm trying to remember, Karen Brandon were telling us that there's no access to grant funds. You're just not going to find anything substantial recall that Mark Harmsworth was and still is on the board of the Boys and Girls Club, as is my boss. He's the chairman of the board. So we set up a meeting with Bill Sakalis to talk about options. And the concept was that, you know, we deed the property to the Boys and Girls Club to for them to do the fundraising for their facility and their building. And as part of their fundraising and their proposal, they would build the pad for the field, basically do the grading work, which is the most expensive part of the construction. Then they deed it back to us with the agreement that we lease it back to them for $1 a year. And so then we're not starting from scratch with the field. We've got it all graded. We're just coming in and using our, at the time, is about $1.2 million, I think we had in the park mitigation fees in the fund. We'd use that to finish off the field. So as a trying to find a cost-effective way to get a field as well as some other community facility. But those are discussions we hopefully will have next year. I know the Boys and Girls Club still has interest in working with us on it, but there's a lot of other potential options, some of which could coexist, some of which may not. So
it sounded pretty good in 14 when I listened to him talking about it. So
yeah. And they're still interested. Bill is, I mean, I'm hoping we can get going because Bill is in the process of retiring. And he has done pretty amazing things in his long tenure at the Boys and Girls Club. And they're not just in Snohomish County. They're in Island County, and they also have facilities over in Eastern Washington. They built a club up in Brewster, northeast of Chelan. And then we got involved with them. There was a proposal. My boss that's on the chairman of the board of the Boys and Girls Club, he's also on the board of the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation back in Baltimore that goes and builds fields around the country. And they have one up in Everett at the Boys and Girls Club. We were talking with them about a regional complex on a piece of property that we owned over in East Wenatchee, but this was pre-bubble and bust. So, I mean, we've been talking for years about finally getting to that conversation with the council and the community, and hopefully 2021 is going to be that year. We invested a lot. I mean, people don't realize, I'm sorry, we'll get to you in just one sec, Barb. We have $5.5 million invested in that property.
Okay. How much again?
I believe it was either 5.4 or 5.5 for the 10 acres of Dobson Remillard.
Sounds right.
Whatever we paid for the church property last year or earlier this year, I think that was 2.1, or we reduced the price at one point. And then on top of that, and then you've got, I think the city paid, I don't remember what the purchase price was for the Cook property. It was less than $1 million, I think. I want to say $900,000. We have a nice assemblage of property that gives us lots of options to look at. So it'll be fun and interesting.
Well, they can get it going. Good deal.
Yeah, I hope so. That's my goal. Barb?
Well, this ties into what you guys were just talking about, but I was wondering what you felt was a good focus for the next biennium. Anything else besides the Boys Girls Club that you feel would be a good focus for you guys to have, the council to have? Sorry.
I hope we get going on this Mill Creek Boulevard study and start fleshing out what some options are so we can have a discussion with the community of what to do there. I know, you know, the discussion has been focused on how much residential and we want down there, but that's going to be a key. I mean, one, we talked a little bit the other night about the budget, and one of the big driver issues we've got as a city is generating additional revenue. I mean, we have a lot of discussions about businesses we would hope that would locate in Mill Creek, but we have a great community, but our downside is we're so close to Everett and Linwood. It's hard to compete with getting the retailers to come to Mill Creek when they've got the malls and other high, you know, concentrations of businesses that bring people to those locations already. So we've got to find a way to generate some economic activity is now that we're getting close to being fully built out. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
On that though, I'm just not able to picture how much room there is to build big buildings along there. And you had all talked quite a while ago about the back end that looks so ugly, which I don't even pay any attention to it because I use it as a walkway behind Rite Aid and Staples and Albert's Safeway. I don't see the depth for building something. Am I just totally not seeing what you guys are seeing?
We're not seeing anything yet. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to envision and work with the consultants to see what is possible there. I don't think any of us want to see dramatically tall buildings, whether we go to five stories or should say look at five stories. I don't know. But that's what this exercise is about, is penciling out some options so people can start visualizing what the options that we talk about are. Now, my favorite example is, Barb, you know I'm in the development business by day, and I always tell people the two things people hate most are density and sprawl. I remember going to a presentation at the Urban Land Institute, I think it was in New York City in 2004, and one of those years, the presentation was on opposition to projects, and they're talking about how if they asked someone, said, what do you think of a project that would have a density of like 50 dwelling units per acre? Oh no, I wouldn't like that. That would be horrible. And they put up a picture. What do you think of this development? That looks pretty cool. Would you be surprised that that's 75 dwelling units per acre? People don't know what they like and don't like. That's why I was urging people, let's not focus on the numbers. We need to start looking at, you know, visualize what it would look like and then kind of fill in the blanks. Now, I don't know that the study group is going to end up recommending a massive overhaul for everything. It may just be focused on the area south of Bank of America. I forget what that street is that comes in on the south side of Bank of America. But it could just focus on that area, the Panos property and the QFC area and the area on the west side of the boulevard. Who knows? But we just wanted to get the direction so we can start visualizing some of that stuff, because I think it's hard for all of us to really picture what could or could not be there, or what we would or would not want to see there.
Doesn't the creek still run behind there on the west side?
Yes, it does.
Yep.
That's one of the limitations on all the properties. That's one of the limitations on all the properties on the west side, those office buildings north of the pond, in between the pond and City Hall, is we've now got, with the critical areas regulations that have increased the buffers over time, one of the things we're holding off on is changing the city's regulations. We don't want those property owners to come in and apply to redevelop before we've had a chance to look at and see if we want to change the zoning and see if there's different uses. I think it's more likely that those buildings would get redeveloped at some point rather than the office buildings over on the other side of the street behind the post office. You know, unfortunately, the substation isn't going anywhere. Post office probably isn't going anywhere. And those two office buildings or so that are right there are probably cash cows for their owners. I mean, they just rake in the rental income from the doctors and dentists and so forth that are in those buildings. So we should plan for something there. I just think it's more realistic, in my opinion, that something's going to happen south of there, Rite Aid south.
Do you know what the acreage is on that west side that could be developed, redeveloped?
Not offhand. Mm-hmm. We have the consultants have all that information. We've seen it, but I don't have it at the tip of my hand.
Okay.
Barb, one of the ideas that the committee is looking at and has brought up as well when we're looking at that area is to enhance the North Creek Trail as well, green space around, and make it more of a focal point. So that's also one of the ideas that's being knocked around. So it'll be nice to be able to actually get the plans and visualize what some of these things would look like. So
yeah,
it'll help us a lot.
That's why I asked Tom to put together a presentation that was part of what he presented with Brian Veneman. It had some pictures of other higher density areas in the region, just to not as examples of what we would do, but just to have people start seeing what options are and what could be done.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I don't like Bothell's.
I disagree. I think it's really cool. Now, is it our design standards I'd want to see built? I don't know. Maybe not. But the challenge we have to get businesses there, what we heard this from the developers out in the East Gateway, and we'll hear it again now, is to get businesses to come here, they need more rooftops.
Yeah, the consultants mentioned that last week.
Well, and they said the same thing, Will, when we were studying the East Gateway as well. And I think that has largely panned out that, you know, if you don't have the bodies, you know, we're not sustaining all the businesses we already have in the city.
That's true.
Yeah, that would seem pretty obvious from what's going on in the town center and the fact that we've lost some of our commercial entities there.
Well, I think I was wondering on the bookstore, that wasn't a matter of the landlord asking too much for rent versus no?
No, I don't know what the rent situation was. I view that more as that's just the changing nature of retail that I think you bookstore really scaled back their operations. I'm not sure if they have a brick and mortar store other than the one out on the Ave anymore. I think they closed most of them down.
Oh, okay. One thing on the Mill Creek Trail, my neighbor across the street took her two sons to the dentist a while back, and she went down there with her dog to take a walk and ran into a number of homeless people camping out down there and decided that that place was not for her and turned around and left the area and went someplace else.
But we need to make sure the public knows how to let us know when that stuff is happening. I talked with
Hillary.
Hillary, thank you. And we talked about that very issue of, you know, because I don't see it as much as some others may see it. You know, I know there's homelessness in our community, but it's not as evident in Mill Creek as it is obviously in Seattle or even in Everett. It might be because we have more open space and it's occurring in places that are hidden, but it is occurring. But you know, when we have been alerted to it, we respond to it and then we respond quickly. I remember, I think it was earlier this year, and I don't want to say an encampment, it was only a few tents, but they popped up at North Point along 35th, right off the side of the road. And within about 24 hours, we were out there and got it all cleaned up and moved on. But we need to make sure that whether it's the MCCA or some other HOA, if they see this happening, they need to let us know, or else we can't be proactive with it. We don't want to let them get entrenched. This one's, and I will say that speaking for myself, and I think from what I've heard of everyone on the council, we're not going to open up our park system to camping. Melissa, you had a question?
Yes, it was just along with the 35th that you said. I'm off of that area, and our HOA, you know, we did, you know, contact the city when that encampment started to show up, and they left, and then they came back, and then they left. It was a little bit of a thing that just kept happening. We thought, oh, it's all cleared up, and then they showed up again in a different spot on 35th. But yes, I do agree that it's really important that we know what the numbers are and who to contact, and also understanding what our rights are, what everyone's rights are in terms of public space versus private property, you know, so whether that's an FAQ pay like question on the city's website in terms of, you know, where you have like, where you can type in when there's an issue, if there's something like that stands out about it, that might be helpful because then you can direct people. I know back when Jody was the communications person, there was a monthly or it might be a quarterly HOA focus group. Does anyone remember that? It was
quarterly.
We started those because at some point, this would have been three city managers ago. He was, the issue was, and there's a little bit of a perception that the city was focusing on the MCCA, not the entire community. So when Rebecca Palazzotto was the city manager, we asked her to set up some focus groups that brought in all the HOAs, including the MCCA, but we also brought in representatives from the portions of the city that don't have an HOA. I have a friend that lives in the Heatherwood West area that's particularly concerned about some issues up there that are recurring. And so we did have those going for a period of time, and I think they were actually pretty well attended. They had minutes, so we need to get back to that once we can start having meetings again, although I guess we could start doing them virtually.
They used to have other groups too. They had senior group, business group. They had all these different groups to meet quarterly, because I used to go to the senior one that Joni would handle. As far as the MCCA had before the pandemic, before COVID-19, they had ambassadors that would go around on bikes and go around on the trails, and then get back. They had walkie-talkies, so they'd get back if they saw any homeless people, and they'd, you know, say, oh, encourage them to move someplace else. This is private property type of thing. But I'm quite sure with the COVID, that didn't happen at all this summer.
Yeah, probably. I would assume that's the case. Barb, you said you had a list, so until others raise their hand and want to jump in, you can probably keep asking.
I said I lost. I couldn't find my list. I only have two things.
I thought you might remember it.
Well, I have the two that I, the one I just asked about your focus, what you each had for a focus for the next biennium. I also wanted to know if you are working on, now that we're getting close to being done with the budget, in another month and a half, thereabouts. Are you also,
Three meetings, 3 weeks.
Yeah, that'll go into December. Are you working on the responsibilities of updating the responsibilities of the city manager?
That's gonna be part of the update to the governance manual that we were going to start, and then we were going to proceed after Pam resigned. And then when Mike decided to resign, we needed to wait till we got those two positions filled. So
right.
I hope to bring that back up with the council in December so we can get moving on that. Because we do need to do that.
Good.
So it just got, when Mike's position opened up and we had filled that position in whenever, couple weeks ago, that just pushed us right against the budget, and we needed to make sure we weren't taking up Michael's time with staff on that issue. So we will be picking it up in December. At least starting to discuss and setting a schedule for moving it forward.
Okay, because it wasn't part of the list that Michael mentioned on Tuesday night of, you know, when he was saying, of course, he was mentioning how the budget was going to go at the meetings. So he hasn't done anything past that.
That's correct. We haven't put it on the planning schedule yet. We need to get through all this budget stuff and the public hearings. And I know Michael and Jeff and Mike Todd have been putting in a ton of work on getting all that together and getting the CFP together, which we'll hear about or have a study session on next week.
Right. Somebody else has joined.
There was a Sharon on the line, and I think that's the only other one. I don't know if she has any questions. We're still open.
Hi. Can you see me? Hi.
No, we can't see you.
Can see you. Can hear you.
Oh, wait. I don't know.
Can anybody hear me? Apparently, I've been having microphone issues.
Yes.
You're in a different room, Benjamin. You're in a different room than you are for the meeting. So wherever you are having do the meetings from, it's really hard to hear you.
I've actually rotated my laptop about 15 degrees. That's it. Yeah.
Well, that's better than last night.
Looks like a different room.
No,
can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, Sharon.
Okay, great.
Can't see you, but we can hear you.
I know, I don't know why. I tapped that little button, but it's not working. Anyway, my name's Sharon Aid. I'm with Northwest Innovative Resource Center. And we also have the lab in Everett. And I found this meeting online and thought I would just join and see what this is all about. But we're getting ready to launch Project Reinvent all across Snohomish County, Skagit, and Whatcom County, which helps dislocated workers and small businesses pivot in this crazy economy we're dealing with right now. And so I just wanted to, I was just going to introduce that little bit about that and let you know that the press releases are going to come out on Monday about that. So if you know anybody that a small business or people that are looking for work, this could be an assistance for them.
It is someone on your list, someone from the city on your list to receive that press release so we can.
Yes.
I got two members, two former Boeing employees in my neighborhood now. So.
Yes. Okay.
They might be interested.
All right.
Retirements or layoffs?
Pardon, Brian?
Retirements or layoffs?
Layoffs. One's an accountant and the other one's a retired military naval commander, and he was a project manager on one of the lines.
That's exactly the kind of people we're looking for. You know, people that might be able to assist small businesses in this pivot, and or, you know, people that are, you know, looking for work as well. So yes, we're sending the information out, and thanks for listening.
Will it be in the Herald?
Yes, on the 11th, Janice from the Business Journal is going to write some kind of story, and it will be in the Herald. I used to work for the Herald.
I'll have something to give them then.
Perfect.
Thank you for jumping on our inaugural virtual town hall. This is the first time we've done this, so.
Oh, wow. Well, good. Yeah, I found it online, and I thought I'm going to check it out.
I'm curious. How did you find it online? Where did you find it?
On your chamber website.
On your what?
Chamber of Commerce.
I think we posted on Facebook and Instagram, and I think Jeff Ritter from the chamber may have picked it up and put it on their website.
Yes, and I'm friends with Jeff, and also have shared all this information with him, and have an appointment with him tomorrow to talk about Project Reinvent with him.
Great. Perfect.
Great.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
No, that was interesting. I'm glad she showed up.
That's helpful information.
Well, thank you. I can't wait for you to actually read the information about it, because it's really expansive. There's a lot to it as far as how we can help the businesses and how we can help the dislocated workers. The whole thought is, let's keep this talent local. Let's keep the talent in the Pacific Northwest. And if you're, you know, dislocated right now, we want to match you up with a small business that might need your help. And that way you keep current in, you know, in your field, but yet you're helping somebody. And maybe you'll find a job through that. Maybe not. But it's a really innovative, really neat new program. So watch for it. It'll be all over the place.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it might be helpful once we get the contact information to have you get in touch, or put Michael Caravino, our city manager, in touch, because I think this might be worthwhile of having you give a 5 or 10 minute presentation to a council meeting in maybe December, January, after through the budget, so you can educate the whole council on what you're trying to accomplish.
All right. Well, thank you. And that's Michael Caravino.
Yes. Gosh, how do you? I can always pronounce
it. You know what? You can find it on our website, on the City of Mill Creek website. He's the city manager. That's the easiest way to spell it. Oh, this is go to city.com.
I believe it's C-I-A-R-A-V-I-N.
That's close enough.
I think I got it right.
All right. Yes. Thank you.
Bear, are you working specifically for anything within, say, this northern Puget Sound region, or are you looking at Everett specifically, or Everett Mill Creek, anything like that?
Snohomish, Skagit, Whatcom County.
Okay.
Each county, we're working with specific development people that are connected to put out this program.
Okay, that's really great. I'm a council representative for SPIA, and I'd also be interested in seeing if you would come and speak at one of our council meetings or one of the information sessions when there are people who've taken voluntary layoffs or are in process for layoff.
So Benjamin, you said SPIA?
Yes. That's the engineers union over at Boeing.
That's the connection we want, to be able to share this information with. Okay. Wow. Okay. Engineers group. Okay. All right, Ben. Yes, for sure.
All right. I'll be looking for that. For that press release. I'll see if I can share that and see if I hope that your contact info is on there and I can get you connected with the right people to get that set up.
Yes, there's so if I just send it, where should I send? What's your email address?
What is my email address? Is it B Briles?
We'll get Michael in touch with her, and then we can get connected and get contact.
Okay.
We'll find you.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Melissa, you had a question?
I was just going to share. I heard about this. I didn't realize it was the first one. I went on the website today and I was looking at the calendar of events, because normally there's a park and recreation board meeting on the first Wednesday, and we weren't having it, but I was checking to see if it's still on the website, which it was. Anyways, so that's how I found it. Next to a bunch of events that didn't end up happening for the year because of COVID, it's still on the website, all the calendar of events of like the parades and things like that. And so I made a note to follow up with someone, but then I realized I don't know who I should be reaching out to. And so I ended up reaching out to Kristen, because I think she's taking over for Jay for the Parks and Rec, because I was just trying to follow up, because we canceled our meeting today because we knew with Jay leaving, there would be kind of like a vacuum. So we're hoping to meet up again in December. So I was just trying to be proactive on it. And that's, I saw this come up and I went, oh, look at that.
Yeah, our hope is we kind of had short notice on getting this one scheduled. Our plan was to do these on the off Tuesday, the third Tuesday of the month when the council doesn't meet. And then we had to use the third Tuesday last month to fill the second seat that was open. So I think our plan is, I don't know that we're with Thanksgiving, trying to remember, is Thanksgiving in the fourth week, third week this year?
I don't know.
We may be able to have one on the 18th, because Thanksgiving is the 26th, right? Or is it Thanksgiving the 19th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanksgiving will be the
26th. Okay, so I don't know if we'll do one in 2 weeks, so it may be December that we do it. But in the new year, we'll do these more regularly and probably schedule them on the third Tuesday of the month.
Hmm.
Yes?
I don't know what the proper procedure, if I should just keep raising my hand on that.
So the floor is open.
Perfect. Has there any thought about having it at a different time, since you might get the same exact people who attend council meetings at that time? Is there maybe an opportunity to make it just on a different day or earlier, or, you know, like a lunchtime session or something along those lines? Has there been any thought about that?
No, we were thinking about getting this one scheduled. So we're open to, I think, to anything. So I think that's a good suggestion. Maybe we rotate them. hoping that some people have a little more flexibility right now with the virtual. That's the one benefit of it, is it makes it a little easier going to meetings. I wasn't as ticked at my doctor when he was an hour late to my appointment this morning because I just had him up on my iPad while I was working in the virtual waiting room waiting for him to show up.
That's nice that it could work out that way. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, this, the virtual opportunity allows for you to try this month at a certain time and next month at a different time until you find, you know, what might be a good sweet spot to get different individuals.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I noticed that a few councils are doing theirs like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something too. So we'll try a few different things as we get it going and see what happens.
You,
Go
ahead.
Thank you. I have my hand up first, Will. This is a different subject, okay? Because I thought we were done with that one. I know that quite a while ago, I don't know, last spring maybe it was, when discussed at the council meeting about the concern, late spring, concern for doing the preschool classes once the pandemic's all squared away and we have the vaccine and everything. I do hope that we will continue having those classes for those little kids. I don't know how you feel as a council about it. I'm hoping that at least Stephanie likes that idea to have it. It's a great revenue source. So I know Michael had major concerns about it, but.
The concerns he had were mainly dealing with the facilities and the risk management issue, which we need to look at, but I know there's a, we also want to make sure that some discussion we've had in the past is we don't want the city competing against private businesses. So if there's a niche that we can fill and if we can address the facilities to make sure that we're out doing it safely, then I think we'd be all for it. But those are, it hasn't been discontinued. It is suspended while COVID's going on. So Michael can look at these issues. So it will be back in front of the council to discuss.
Okay, so it will be actually the council deciding on that, not just Michael? Is that the way it would be?
Well, I think that's yet to be determined. I mean, we need to hear what the programming would be and talk about the facility costs, what he would recommend needs to be done there. So I think it's a little bit of both.
So, Barb, I also have young kids, not in the preschool range anymore. Woohoo, daycare bill is done. But I do have, one of my views on this is that I would like, I'm trying to find ways for the city to help increase value for our residents of being in the city of Mill Creek without increasing our property taxes. And I think that's one of the ways that we can do that is through those types of activities and events. And honestly, Barb, you do an excellent job in providing value through the city with your volunteer work without raising property taxes. So thank you very much for all the work you do. So you're helping to provide that value for our residents with your volunteer work. And that's really, really good stuff.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeff, welcome.
Jeff.
Hi. I have a question.
Yep.
On the subject you're just talking about, were we underpricing or overpricing based on retail costs for childcare? Does anybody know?
I have no idea how the, I don't know that Michael ever changed it when he got here. I have no idea how the pricing was established before, how it's been adjusted. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, actually unaware on that. We never took advantage of the services ourselves. I just want to say hi to Jeff. I've only gotten an email from you. Hello. This is the first time I've seen you.
So my son, we did attend Preschool Pals through the city of Mill Creek, and it fit. It was definitely something that there wasn't a lot of comparable options because most daycares are full day. This was just a 2-hour program on, you know, Tuesday, Thursdays, and then they had a different age groups, so would be Monday, Wednesday. So there wasn't anything similar to it, except for other cities in their recreation programs, like Linwood or in different. So other cities had something similar, but there wasn't a private business when I was doing the research. Kids at the there's church based preschools that had maybe those like similar kind of hours, but those would be faith-based. And the other parents that I spoke to were looking for something not faith-based, which it was difficult to find in our region of Mill Creek, Bothell, Linwood, was finding something not faith-based.
We're going to have to ask the city manager to provide some clarification. At least I want this clarification of what the programming was, because I know everyone keeps saying daycare. It wasn't a daycare because we weren't being regulated as a daycare. It was some kind of afternoon child recreational program. So, but I don't know the exact nature of it. And so I think that's part of the discussion the council has to have. We need to understand what it was that was being provided, because I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah, they had different classes, because I know when I was teaching the line dancing at City Hall North, they would have preschool classes in there, and I taught it on Wednesday mornings, and they'd have kids come in for a couple of hours, and then they'd do art, or they'd do music, they'd do craft type things or whatever. So it was very short. It was definitely not daycare, which I don't know why, how it got the daycare name, because it was just preschool classes. It wasn't daycare.
Oh, yeah, music classes with Cora when she was younger. We used to go do those every week. That was a lot of fun. So.
Oh, okay. We tried out the Tigers thing. It was a form of martial arts. We did that for a little while through the city.
This just for clarification, so preschool PALS, if I said the word daycare, I was referring to other options, that the other options in the area for something for that age demographic, where you would have a preschool type setting where they did a circle time and they sang and there were three instructors and they had activities that they would do. It was 2 hours. And like, again, they split it up into 3-4 and then 4-5 or entering, you know, you were going to be entering kindergarten, and it was different days. And it was just 2 hours. My reference was in terms of the question about it, what type of market it fit. It was something different, because the other normal options, if you're looking for something, would be either a full-time daycare, right? Or if there were shortened days, it was at religious institutions.
Well, I understood that as people just started referring to it as the daycare the city was offering, and we were never offering daycare.
Yeah, I've only heard of it ever called preschool options, you know, for ages 3 to I just wanted to make sure it wasn't me who stated daycare.
Jeff, we have a very open forum, so feel free to jump in if you have any questions. We'll kind of have an open floor going here. So,
yeah, just that I'm sure we weren't licensed as a daycare, so I'm sure we don't want to use that term.
All right.
I know that is a very different animal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. License for daycare is a lot of state involvement with that. And, you know, we don't really want to have to be involved with that.
Yes, got a question, Will? You're here.
I had a question and it escaped my mind, so I'm getting senile in my old age.
Oh, no. Am I going senile?
Could be.
That's what happens to me sometimes.
Lisa?
See, what it really is it's your brain sorting out what's important and what's not is a good excuse when that happens.
Melissa had another question.
Yeah, so my question, I wasn't sure the format of this was in regards to COVID and the city response and the type of language on the website and also the language on the playgrounds. Has there been any discussion about updating that language, making it more clear, including more visuals, like an actual image of a mask and saying masks, you know, required or what language, obviously, you know, depending. I just don't know what the city council or city staff's kind of like positioning is around it. Because currently it's a lot of disclaimers that gets hidden and is hard for people, and most aren't reading it. And I say this as someone who uses all of the parks and playgrounds for my children and for my own personal use, but also as part of the Park and Recreation Board, just thinking through what it is that's, you know, helping to explain kind of the city's thoughts on it and rules.
No, that's a good point. I mean, the background is everyone was flying by their seat of their pants in late March and early April. And so we went down into shutdown mode. You know, we decided to shut down the parks when the stay home, stay healthy order was issued. So we'll have to ask Michael. I'm not sure we ever updated the language that we originally used when everything was just shut down, as opposed to how that differed from when we were open, allowed to slowly open back up. So I think that's a good point. We need to look at the language of that signage. I don't know how much people even pay attention to it anymore. I know I live by Cooper Park and no, we still have signs up, but I don't pay attention to what the signs say anymore.
I think it's one of those things where from my understanding in our questioning about this in our board, in the committee meeting, was that there was a lot of like focus on making sure it was legally, or the people who were writing it had more of a legal background. So that's where their emphasis became in terms of making sure how it was written. I just would suggest that this is an opportunity for more of a visual opportunity with the signage, because there are so many children, kids, youth, whatever terminology you would like, that go to the playgrounds and parks without their parents. And so they're not reading anything. So it's one of those nice, you know, if you can have a very basic icon or iconic language of, you know, showing what it is that you're hoping people will do to visually represent what we're hoping for the city of Mill Creek.
Yeah, but that was my point. The language originally was intended to protect the city mm-hmm. from legal issues, to make sure that, yeah. you know, you're using it at your own risk, people. We can't protect against the spread of COVID on the playground facilities or in the restrooms or that sort of thing. But that's a good point, is we've evolved from that. We're still restricted, but not like we were. So I think it's worthwhile to look at the language of that signage to see if it still matches what we need it to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Benjamin, you had a comment?
Yeah, I may have actually missed this. I know that part of the CARES Act money went into buying a lot of those dispensers of the
Hand sanitizer dispensers.
Have we rolled any of those out to the city parks?
I don't think we have yet.
I don't know what they're planning for those, because I'm not sure what we haven't seen them yet, so I'm not sure if they're intended to be permanently affixed or if these are the types of things that would be freestanding, that would sit inside a business. So I'm not sure if they're capable of just being bolted down on the street, or even if they were, how long they would last there.
That's a good point. How long would they last? And I think not long.
Unfortunately, yes.
They'll have to be serviced if they remain in place. Yeah, either way.
You can ask Jeff, that I'm not sure what his intent was, if there was any intent to put him in public spaces beyond dispensing him to build property to businesses. Will?
Yeah, I do know that based on my daughter's experience with her two kids, that women with young kids, there's a whole circuit that they either officially or unofficially go through looking for recreational things for the kids, the young ones, the toddlers, the little ones. And she would travel from city to city, park to park on a daily basis during the good weather. And I think it's unofficial, but it's quite extensive from what I've seen. She would go to Linwood, and she lives in Edmonds, and take advantage of everything there. They even come over in this part of the neighborhood to attend events, and even further east of here. So whatever that is going on, I think it, if you totaled it all up, it would be rather large in scale. That's all.
One of the great things about that kind of park tourism is that then it also recommends to people that they buy a latte while they're nearby, or a scone or something like that, or a bundt cake, as it were, depending on which park they're near.
That does happen.
Yeah.
I think the big unknown for us right now, though, is now that the governor has been reelected, whether we're going to see something come down in the next 4 to 5 weeks now that the numbers are going the wrong direction.
Be interesting to see what he says.
Yeah.
We're now in the county, we were getting close months ago in the summer to getting to phase three, and now I think we're supposed to be at less than 25 cases per 100,000 over a 2-week average, and we're now at 120 cases. It was interesting too, because the hospital capacity, we're almost at 80%. 80% is the threshold for one of the other dashboard triggers. We're almost at that threshold. The hospital capacity is at just under 79%, although only 2% of that is COVID related. So we're getting more cases, but less hospitalizations, but the hospitals are full. So if we have a spike in those COVID hospitalizations, we're going to start bumping up against the hospital capacity issue in the county as well. Okay. See what comes down the pike in the next few weeks.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if they come up with a vaccine, and even if it requires 4 shots a year, I'm going to get 4 shots a year.
The challenge is when it comes out, it's going to go to the first responders and the healthcare providers first. I think we're looking at earliest mid next year before the general public is thinking about getting a shot.
Yep.
Yeah. At least, yeah.
Hmm. Well, we're going to try to keep this to 7 o'clock tonight, because Naomi, the city clerk, has graciously volunteered her time to keep working tonight. So we're going to try to stick to the time period. So happy to answer any more questions you have in the last 5 minutes. And then we will talk in the coming weeks about when we will get the next one scheduled. We've got to look at the calendar, and not sure it makes sense to do one in December with the holidays, although since people aren't going to be having Christmas parties, maybe they want to come and talk to me and Stephanie instead. Probably not, but just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
Well, get your glass of eggnog.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, it's BYOB.
Okay.
Any other questions tonight?
Nope.
Not tonight.
Well, thank you everyone for participating. I hope to see this screen grow with the Hollywood Squares in the weeks and months ahead. So in the meantime, as stuff comes up, don't wait for the next one. You all know how to find us, or how to contact us via the web portal on the city's website. So that's what Stephanie, Benjamin, myself, and the other 4 council members are here for. So if stuff comes up, please reach out to us. We don't know what we need to do if we don't know about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, hearing from you is one of the best ways for us to represent you.
Yep. Yep. So thank you everyone for your time, and we will see you next time. Thanks, Naomi, for